Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Technology Uncorked. This show is brought to you by Navman, and I've been checking out the Cruise 650 MMT. And what I wanted to quickly talk about and highlight right now is that normally when you're using GPS units, you're using them to go to an unknown destination, or maybe you're going on a holiday and you need the best way to get there. However, how about using them for day-to-day life? And what I mean by that is maybe you've got a few errands to run. You've got to go to Bunnings, you've got to go to Macca's, you've got to pick up the kids from school, whatever it is. Punch all of these destinations into your Navman, and you'll be surprised that even though you think you know the typical way to go with live traffic updates, things like accidents or accident awareness, all these things that could slow you down, the Navman will accommodate for that. It knows what's up ahead. It knows exactly what's happening. And that way, it adjusts the trip for you. It means that you'll get where you need to on time in the most efficient way. And that means you'll get there stress-free. And for me, that's a huge thing. Save time and save yourself a bit of stress along the way. This particular unit with a 6-inch screen is $229 recommended retail. I'm looking at their website now, and they've also got a $30 cashback on it. So look, a perfect gift for Christmas, whether it's for yourself, for loved ones, whatever it is. Check them out, navman.com.au. Alrighty, we always start with a glass of wine, and this particular one that's in front of me tonight is from Church Road. It is the Tom Chardonnay. This is their premium Chardonnay, and honestly, it delivers in spades. It's a delicious example. It is a white wine, in case you're unaware, a completely full mouth of lacquered wine around the rims. It's stunning. You're swirling it, you're smelling it, you're going back and forth, you're just picking up all these different notes as well. It's lovely, very citrusy, perfect for summer. This particular bottle, though, is $199. Now, I haven't bought this. I was at a tasting, and I took the rest of it home with me so I could have this tonight. I do love it. However, I also tasted their Reserve Chardonnay, $45 retail. That's the one you probably should be going out to buy, because to be honest, you can almost buy a case of those before you end up with one of these. So do think about that. Value for money, that $45 one wins. However, I'm just extremely lucky to be enjoying this one over the course of the show. This is from Church Road in Hawke's Bay, New Zealand. All right, guys, another huge week in tech to get through. First of all, I want to talk about Disney Plus. I know that we spoke about this last week. However, it's now launched and there's been some controversy along the way. Now, people who did sign up loved it. They're enjoying the service. That's a great thing. Some people, however, found that they were unable to log in shortly after signing up to Disney Plus. What actually happened? Was Disney Plus actually hacked? Well, not really. What actually happened was that, say, for example, you had a different service, and that service, whatever it was, whether it was another streaming account or whether it was some sort of online service for storage, maybe Dropbox, maybe whatever, and you used an email address and the same password that you used for Disney Plus. Say, for example, that website had all of the credentials compromised and there was a big harvesting of usernames and passwords. Then what happens is these hackers, you could call them, then tried using that email address and that password to log into Disney Plus. Had you signed up with those same credentials? Voila, they're now logged into your Disney Plus account. Now, what that actually means is that they can then go in and they can change the email address that's associated with the account, and then they can also change the password so that when you then try to do a password reset, it only just sends that password reset email to the one that they've changed it to, not back to yourself. So it completely locks you out. And for some people who paid for a yearly subscription, that was a bit of a problem, because now it meant that they've handed over the $90 for the year and now they can't use it. So what happens is these people then take those credentials and they go and try and sell it onto the dark web for $5, $10, who cares? They're just flogging these things off, making some money along the way. A bit of a drama there. And what's interesting is Disney isn't exactly doing a lot to help them. They haven't got two-factor authentication for anybody who sets up, which allows you to confirm login from a mobile number. They're not doing that. But they're also not really doing a lot to help the people who've had their accounts compromised. It seems like the only way to fix it is to just go back and set up a new account with a new email address and a new password. Not very helpful. However, Disney probably doesn't care too much. They had over 10 million people sign up in the first 24 hours. That's a heck of a lot. It's more than Netflix had, obviously, in their first 24 hours, but more than they had in their first year. So huge success from Disney. People should be happy about this. It seems like a really compelling service. You know, it has got 4K content. It's got plenty to watch if you love your movies, especially anything from Marvel, Disney, Pixar, and others. Even National Geographic, which is a nice thing to have too. So did you sign up? I'd love to hear from you. Did you get hacked? I definitely want to hear from you. But, you know, let me know your thoughts on Disney Plus. Some really cool news this week out of Garmin. Now, Garmin do make smartwatches. They make realistically outdoor-y type smartwatches. They're the kind of thing that you would take on a hike or if you're going to go running around a mountain. These ones from Garmin generally look a bit bulkier. They don't have a lot of sophistication to them, but they have a lot around, you know, outdoor adventure stuff. So they're very cool, and I've tested a bunch of them. They tend to go deep on metrics as well. So if you're focused on really tracking your exercise, a really impressive thing to do. But that's not the real feature I want to talk about. What they've launched here, the Fenix 6X Pro Solar. Now, the solar part is what's fascinating here, because they've now got an invisible solar panel, or a transparent solar panel, that sits across the glass of the watch, which means it can effectively recharge itself, which is crazy good, because if you are outside doing exercise like that, and it's daylight, there's a pretty good chance you'll be able to be charging your watch at the same time. Or if you're driving and you take your watch off and strap it to the bull bar, then you'll also get a recharge while you're driving. I don't know, I'm just thinking out loud. But what I looked at here, and I'm looking at the numbers, and this is fascinating. So when it's used as a smartwatch, this 6X Pro Solar can give you 21 days of battery life plus 3 days with the solar charging. I'm confused. Wouldn't you think it's just unlimited? I mean, if it was in the sun all day, does it not just continue to live like a solar panel thing would do? I don't understand it. It's a bit strange. I'm fascinated as to why. Is it really draining at such a rate that solar isn't providing enough energy? And if so, is that extra 3 days really that advantageous? I mean, I'm wondering how much more it costs to add the solar panel on this thing, and the technology and R&D that went into it. And then they said, yeah, after 21 days, you're going to get an extra 10% of battery life. I don't know. I mean, after 21 days, is it going to kill you to have a shower and charge your watch? I don't know. So we don't know pricing on this yet. We know it's going to India first, which is strange. I guess that's, well, actually, maybe that does make sense. Maybe it's, you know, there are issues out there where maybe power is harder to get to than other countries, maybe Australia. I don't know. Maybe that's a reason. But for me, I think it's interesting. I love the idea of a transparent solar glass. I would love that to be on smartphones. Not that you should really leave your phone in direct sunlight, but, you know, I love the concept behind it. For me, I want to see this. I want to try it. I want to go for a run among the mountains and see how much the battery does drain compared to another, you know, fitness tracker that's doing the same type of thing for that duration, and actually see how much of an impact it does have. So it's the Garmin, if you're interested, the Garmin 6X Pro Solar. They love their names. Check it out. It's, as I said, it's very ruggedized. Don't expect it to look sexy or elegant. You're probably not going to wear this to your wedding, but you're certainly going to be able to wear this and get that extra 3 days. If you're doing a 25-day hike, you'll make it. Now, from one smartwatch to another smartwatch, and I say them both with little rabbit-eared fingers, this is from TCL, TCL Move Time. It's a family watch. Now, this is intended for children or for your kids. And say, for example, they're looking at getting their first phone just because you want a way of contacting them if you have to, or for them to contact you in any situation. Maybe they're just in primary school, that kind of situation. $200. It's coming to Australia. It's got 4G built in, so you just put the SIM card into the watch itself. It's got GPS. It's got a 1.3 inch color display on the front. And obviously, it comes in pink or blue. Doesn't come in whatever the neutral, gender neutral color is. It doesn't have that. It's just pink or blue. You've got to pick a side. However, what's interesting here is it's also got a camera on the front, on the watch face. And I really like this, because what they're allowing you to do is for the kids or for the parents to get in touch with one another through a video call, not just through voice. So that means that you can actually see what's around your child as well, and they could effectively see you. Now, they do that all through the TCL Move Time app, that if you're a parent, you just install it on your phone. However, I mentioned it's also got GPS. And this is really cool because you can actually set up geofences. So say, for example, your child goes to a school. You would actually put a geofence around that school so that you would get notified if your child was to leave that boundary. Maybe they're deciding to wag school, or maybe something really bad has happened and they're being driven away by a kidnapper. Who knows? However, you'd get a notification and then you could video call them or you could send them a text, whatever it is. I love this. However, it also does have, you know, your step counting and things like that. So your child isn't going to feel like it's a surveillance device. They're going to actually still enjoy the fact that they can now, you know, call contacts that you've allowed them to do so. They're going to be able to count their steps and do like a mini Fitbit. I think this is just a really smart thing. I really like it. It obviously includes a lot of safety features, which I think is important if your child is wearing something like this. But that video calling feature is just very, very cool. And for parents, being able to quickly open up an app and see where their children is without really disturbing them, especially if they are out with friends and maybe they're not to be disturbed, but you just want to check up on them. It's not that call every 5 minutes to see where they are. You open up the app and you can exactly see where they are. It has got waterproofing and things like that. IP65 rating, which is fantastic. It's coming to Australia. It's going to be in Big W and places like that. $200. I think it's really worth checking out if you're a mum or dad that wants to do something about their kid's way of contacting you, and also a nice way of you keeping up as to where they are. A really, really nice device. Now, Huawei, we do talk about a lot, especially when it comes to them releasing new phones that you can't really use outside of China. The FreeBuds 3 is out. Now, FreeBuds, these are essentially looking a lot like Apple AirPods, but they look a lot like the normal Apple AirPods, not the Pros. They do, however, add noise-canceling technology, which is really fascinating because when they look like the original AirPods, they don't seem to have what I experienced, a proper fit inside the ear that could actually produce noise cancelling. And when the Pros came out with those silicon tips, you could see why, because it needs to properly create a seal inside the ear. Well, Huawei says you don't need that, and they're not having silicon tips on their ones. But honestly, guys, they look identical to Apple AirPods. It's kind of insulting to Apple. However, they're $100 cheaper than the AirPods Pro. They're at $299. They'll come in black or white. I love the fact they come in black. I really would love a pair of black AirPods. That's a separate discussion. However, they look a lot like them. They say that they've got noise cancelling as well. They are coming to Australia at $299. I need to try these because when you make imitation-looking products, I'm always fascinated to see how they look. Obviously, they're going to try and claim that they do other things, that they're going to sound better and things like that. Maybe they do. I'm very fascinated to see if they actually do the noise cancelling properly. I love the fact that they also do come in a wireless charging case, just like the AirPods Pro do as well. So they've really added everything in just at $100 less. So imagine if they actually are just as good as the AirPods Pro at $100 less. You may not be as insulted by the fact they copied the design because, heck, people will think you're just wearing AirPods anyway, especially if they're just as good. So I don't know, it could be a swing and a miss by Huawei, or it could actually be the one that they actually land, considering I'm not recommending people buying their phones at the moment. But maybe I would recommend they buy these, what do they call them again? FreeBuds. Hang on, I got to find this so I don't get it wrong. The Huawei FreeBuds 3. They apparently had a first and a second generation, which I've never used or seen, nor know someone who's bought them. But let's see, guys. Let's just see. I don't want to cancel them out yet. I'll talk about them in a later show. I'm going to have to ask them for a pair, especially after I've spoken so highly about them on this podcast. Speaking of headphones, though, Jabra. I say Jabra. The Jabra Elite 7.5T has come on sale in Australia. Now, we've been hearing about these for quite a while, and it's lovely to see that they've landed. These are also priced at $299. However, they're not claiming to do noise cancellation. They are small buds that do go in the ear. They don't have the something about Mary stick hanging off the end of them either. They're just small buds that go in. Now, I'll actually say up front that having that little stick off the AirPods is fantastic for when you want to control, you know, tracks or calls where you're pushing on the stick rather than on the bud itself. So these Jabra ones do have the button in the ear hole. So when you do want to push it or double tap it to change songs, for example, you are pushing into the ear. And I still think that's quite uncomfortable. But with this model, maybe it's a little bit different. Maybe it doesn't put that pressure on. Now at $299, I said they don't do noise canceling. It doesn't have the wireless charging case. However, what I do know about Jabra is they're fantastic when it comes to phone calls. And if you're somebody who is going to be spending a lot of time on the phone, you won't care so much that it doesn't have noise canceling for listening to music, but you will care about how well it can handle phone calls. And they have four microphones built into this to make sure that it blocks out wind noise, blocks out ambient noise, and harnesses just your voice. And if they do it well, then this could be compelling enough just to get for somebody who's on the phone a lot, taking calls, you know, also pairing this to your computer for whether you're on a Skype call or teleconferencing at work. You can actually start to realize that not just for your phone, but for your PC and others, these could be a real universal type product. Jabra is well known for being in the corporate space. You know, they're owned by GN. GN has been around forever. They just celebrated 150 years on this planet. So they've been around. They know calls. They really, really know this stuff. And I do trust them in that area. I will try and check these out too, mainly so I can test the calling capabilities. But hey, even without noise cancelling, maybe they actually sound fantastic to listen to music to as well. So I've tested so many from Jabra before. I've never been very disappointed at all. Their over-ear headphones, just as a side note, which I've tested a long time ago, they are now reducing in price. They're well below $550 now. I think they're around the $520 mark. They are fantastic. They actually do artificial intelligence for noise canceling, which means it detects when you're on a train and adjusts the noise cancellation levels to suit that environment compared to when you're walking or when you're at your desk. It's a crazy pair of headphones. They're so good. But they are also reducing in price, which makes them really compelling compared to, say, the Bose at $599 and the Sennheisers, etc., all at that same price point. So anyway, slight deviation, but the Elite 7.5T, it's unfortunately with Buds, it's one of those products that you can't actually go to a store, try on yourself and experience because they're Buds. So maybe you just need to wait for me to come back to you in a week or two with some thoughts on the Jabra Elite 7.5T. Now, I'm going to explain a situation for you here and tell me if you've ever experienced this same thought. Now, two examples. Firstly, you're in the gym, you've got your Bluetooth headphones on, and you're watching the TV screen that's on the treadmill. You can't hear it because you've got Bluetooth headphones. And the gym would expect you to bring in corded headphones that you jam into the 3.5 mil socket and you start to physically attach yourself to the treadmill by your ear holes. I hate the idea, especially when you do love the Bluetooth headphones that you've got and you just want to watch whatever the heck's playing on that TV. You want to hear about it. You want to hear whatever is actually happening. Or you're on an airplane and you've got this screen in front of you that the airline has provided with movies and TV shows. But again, you've got your Bluetooth headphones and you can't pair them to the screen in front of you. Instead, they want you to stick, you know, your cord into their holes, and maybe they're going to have a fancy adapter where you need two holes to go in there. Even more frustrating, right? So I've had this happen before. I was like, why can't it be simpler? In fact, why can't I get a small device that plugs into a 3.5 mil jack and allows me to connect my headphones to it, and it is connected to the treadmill or the airline? Guess what? Airfly. AIRFLY. This is a product that has been announced by a company called 12 South. Now, it's exactly that. It's a small little, smaller than a matchbox, with a little cord and a 3.5 mil plug. You can stick it into the 3.5 mil jack on the airline TV screen or the treadmill. It has its own battery in it as well, which means that you can just pair it to your Bluetooth headphones. Now, what's weird, in their announcement, it's only working with AirPods. And I don't really know why. I don't really know why it would be fussy around that. But it says specifically that it will only work with AirPods. And AirPods Pro support is coming in this new one that's coming out as well. It will be charged by USB-C. USB-C, which is great. That means it's using the, you know, the new forms of those things. And it will give you 16 hours of playback, which means that, you know, you can take an international flight and have your AirPods connected to it. It's a shame that it's AirPods, especially if you are on a long haul flight. You want to, you know, noise cancel. You want your big headphones on, blocking out all the ambient noise and just watching whatever movies they're providing. So that's a bit of a shame. But I just love that this product now exists. It's going to come to Australia. It will probably be sold by Officeworks from the sound of things, $65. Probably not something you're going to buy if you're going to use it once a year. But if you're a regular flyer and you don't always like to load your iPad up with movies and Netflix and stuff like that, and or you go to the gym often and you just want to watch the content, watch the TV, watch the Netflix shows they have on the treadmill, whatever it is, then this is going to be something you're going to want. And it could actually end up being a fantastic Christmas gift if it arrives in Australia on time. I'm just, this is so good. I just had to talk about it. Now, I may be unique in this situation, but I cannot think that I am, given how many times I've been in places where I'm like, I just want to hear what's being played through that, and I've got Bluetooth headphones to help me out. I do want to work out why it only supports AirPods. I obviously will try and get hold of one and use it with every other type of Bluetooth headphones as well. So it's a strange thing, but I love the fact that this thing is coming. The AirFly, AirFly. Giddy up. All right, now look, since starting the podcast, I've actually moved all my stuff. I've changed, you're not in my house, but I've actually moved to another room where I'm setting up what's really an office and a place where I can, you know, do things like podcasting, write articles, set up a bunch of gear. I've got a TV, entertainment unit, and couch. Like, I've really set up this place to make use of what I'm doing in this tech space now. And as a result of that, I started moving away from having my laptop just on my lap where I would work to sitting at what's like a small desk. And as a result, you know, wanting to plug a screen into it and a keyboard and mouse. And it was good timing because Logitech just announced their new MX series products. Now, I got hold of these and I've been using them for the last few weeks, and I think I'm ready to talk about them. So the MX mouse, this is from Logitech. It's a space age looking thing. Like, it is, it's got curves, it's got edges, it's got wheels. It looks very, very cool. Now, I'll tell you up front, it's $150 for a Bluetooth mouse. Not the cheapest mouse on the planet, but there's a fair few reasons as to why. Let's start with the scroll wheel. There's actually two of them. The one on top, which most people are used to seeing for vertical scrolling, can actually scroll 1,000 lines a second. If you spin it hard enough, the thing just free spins, like it can roll. It's also got a button behind it that changes it to ratchet mode. So you can have it like in a free spin mode, or you can have it in ratchet. So say, for example, you're working on a spreadsheet and you want to scroll down X amount of lines, you can feel those notches as you're going through it. But I love free spin. I'm on a website, I just want to get to the bottom. I'm just like, and the thing just goes. It just flies down. I do like that. It's also super, super quiet. You can't hear that jerkiness in the scroll wheel as well. So very nice feature there. The horizontal wheel is awesome because it sort of sits at your thumb. So where your thumb sits on the mouse, there's a little wheel there. And, you know, if you think about websites now or spreadsheets, whatever it is that you're working on, in this case, I'm looking at my timeline of my audio recording. Horizontal scrolling is now a thing, guys. So doing that with my thumb, fantastic way of just getting from side to side on the page. I really, really do like that. It's also got some buttons. Now, you'd think that it's overcomplicated, but it's not. Once you start to use it, you realize how much you're making use of these functions. So you've actually got two small buttons beneath that horizontal scroll wheel, so you can use that for back or forwards on a website or whatever it is that you're working on. You've also got a gesture button as well, so you can actually get it to do different commands, whether you're in, you know, Adobe product, whether you're in Excel, whatever it is, you can actually use gestures. I do love that. You've also got a way of changing modes, so you can choose that I mentioned before around that scroll wheel feature as well. Very cool. Now, here's something interesting. How about being able to copy and paste from one computer to another? So imagine I have a Mac and I also have a PC and I like to work on both of them with the same keyboard and mouse. What if I could drag a folder from my Mac and paste it on my Windows computer because I'm using the same mouse? You can do that with this. It sounds incredibly freaky, but it works, and I don't get it. It's just awesome. So you can do that. You can now just do some crazy stuff with these mice. I didn't realize that this sort of technology existed. I've just been using my finger on a touchpad for a number of years now. So I'm getting a little tired of that. I'm moving on to a mouse. Now, the other thing about it, I might have said it's got USB-C for charging. I love that, extremely quick charging as well. Although with that said, you're gonna get 70 days out of a full charge. And that's if you're really using this thing. I'm using it in the evening, so I'm getting a lot more than that. I'm not at that point even to know. So you'll get 3 hours of use from a minute of charge. Really, really like this. Now, I did say it's $150, so it's not something that you're just going to buy lightly. But given all the things I've said, if those types of things appeal to you, then go get it. Now, obviously to match the mouse, I've got the keyboard. So the MX Keys is the keyboard that I'm now using. $199, so almost as much as you know, so it's more than the mouse, but the mouse is almost as much as the keyboard, which is kind of crazy. However, the keyboard is sexy. One of the things I love about the keyboard is every key is kind of recessed, so you feel your finger go into the key a little bit. So it's nice and comfortable, really, really natural to use though. And I'm looking at the keyboard now as I'm talking to you. I still have my normal number pad on the right. I've got the full keyboard, the arrow keys in the middle. I'm not missing anything. When I do look at it though, I've actually got a dedicated button for the calculator or for locking the computer and things like that. However, I mentioned before I use a Mac and I use a Windows computer. My Windows one is for my day job. My Mac is for everything I do here with you guys. And what I love here is I've got toggles between PC 1, 2, or 3. Now, PC 1 is my Mac, 2 is my Windows computer. And if I wanted to start working on one or the other, it's like the old KVMs of olden days. Now you just press computer one, boom, start typing, and I'm there. Press number two, start typing on the Windows computer. I mentioned three. That could be a smartphone, could be an iPad, could be something else. So maybe you've got your phone sitting on your desk facing you, an SMS comes through, hit key three, boom, you start replying to that SMS from your keyboard, press enter, the SMS is sent. I really, really like that. Now, I've mentioned that it's all Bluetooth. Pairing was simple. It doesn't matter what you're using. You can pair it to it and start typing away. The backlit keyboard is awesome. Now, I didn't mention it had that capability. However, when it just putting your hand near the keyboard, the keys will come to life. It senses that you're there. And if your room is dark, it naturally lights up. For me, it just lights up when you first start typing, but I'm in a very well-lit room, so it starts to fade again. But, you know, walking up to a computer and just having the keyboard wake as you approach it is a really welcoming thing to see, and it's just nice. It's just a sexy thing. Now, this one, however, will get you 10 days of full charge. So you do need to be wary of that. You will be needing to charge this a little more than others. However, with the backlighting, you can turn that feature off. You'll then get up to 5 months of battery life. So just something to consider if you don't care about the lights. I really like it. I will say as well, because I know I've been saying I'm switching between Macs and Windows here, the keys are appropriately labeled as well. So it doesn't feel like you've got, you know, a Windows computer, a Windows keyboard trying to work on a Mac or vice versa. I've got, say, for example, where my control key or Ctrl, as some people would say. I've also got a hyphen and it's got the options key. Or I've got the Alt key or Alt, whatever you want to call, alternative key. And then I've got the CMD or the command key on the same button. And it's written there, so you still don't get lost along the way. And I love that. Same thing for multitasking or for brightness, play pause, volume controls. It's all there on the keyboard. It's a really sexy unit. Honestly, at $200, I'm probably favoring the keyboard over the mouse if you had to pick one based on budget and you were struggling. However, if you can afford to get both, they do work really well together. You do still get that whole copy and paste type function. If you've only got the keyboard, you don't have to have the mouse to make that work. You know, control C on your keyboard, flick over to the Windows one, control V, you're copying and pasting from one computer to another. It's magic stuff. Really impressive from Logitech. It's the MX series. Do check it out. All right, guys, let's wrap this episode up. I have given you a ton of tech news, a couple of reviews here around these keyboard and mice. A little bit different here. I've actually got a soundbar from Bang & Olufsen that I'm going to talk about next week, as well as a bunch of other tech news and other reviews. Now, we're getting closer to Christmas, helping you out with some Christmas shopping that you might be doing. And looking forward to packing my bag and heading off to Las Vegas for the Consumer Electronics Show. It's going to be the biggest ever for me. I cannot explain to you just how big it's going to be, but you'll hear about it, you'll see it, you'll read it, you'll watch it. There'll be a lot going on, and I can't wait to get started. This has been Technology Uncorked. My name is Jeff Quattromani. Thank you for listening. I'll speak to you again next week, and the week after that, 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 etc.